Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So this verse is saying that it is possible to be unoffendable, to live without offense. That it's possible when you love the word. Love your law means love your word. Like, want to grow close to the word, the truth that sets me free. I want to live my life God's way and God's will. That when you draw close to him and you begin to live with that sort of openness and confidence and faith in your life, that you can be a part of a group of people who are unoffendable. You see, way too many people today are being offended. Like, in fact, it's oftentimes like a thing that people quickly embrace to manipulate people around them. They'll say to somebody, that offends me. You're offending me right now. So they like put themselves in the position of the offended one in order to manipulate the actions and behavior of another. So it's like our society today is really keen to the whole idea of being offended, and I am offended. But you see, that the result of that is that there's way too many people that are living jacked up, messed up, screwed up, upset, bothered, bent out of shape. Because we have allowed ourselves to be okay with carrying offense. Just because you feel offended doesn't mean you have to live offended. Like, any amens on that? Any uh-huh on that? Any yes, pastor, on that? When you have interaction with other people, opportunities for offense are inevitable. Somebody's going to pour you a big, fat glass of offense. And this is what we call the feeling of offense. Everybody feels it. Everybody feels it, has felt it this past week. Life's not fair. People are not perfect. Opportunity is going to come over and over again. Jesus said, offense will come. Offense will come. Offense will come. Offense will come. It's not a rare occasion. It's a part of life. Offense will come. I went to get cash from an ATM machine this week, and I put my card in. I put my PIN number in. The cash came out, and as I reached for it, the machine took it back. No joke. It's like my hand got halfway to where all, you know, the bills are at. My hand gets halfway. Whoop, it's like it just went right away. Like, I'm just kidding kind of thing, you know. And to make it worse, the machine gave me a receipt that said it gave me the money. So I'm like, you're not only a thief, you are a liar. Liar. You liar. And honestly, my first thought is, I sure hope there's a camera here, like a good camera. Like, I hope somebody can see, like, do you see what that machine, I'm talking to the machine, I'm scolding the machine. I'm like, you are a bad machine. Then I realized that the machine couldn't talk back, couldn't help me out. I had to go in the bank and talk to a real person, like, try to sort that out. But you know, life's not fair. I said, life's not fair. I said, stuff's going to happen, right? Come on, stuff's going to happen. And living offended is when you get beyond the feeling of offense and you drink the poison and expect the other person to die. Or you expect the consequences to be on someone else because you're, you know, you're wanting vengeance. You're wanting to show them. You're wanting them to, you know, that I'm going to make it hard on you. I'm not going to speak to you. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to forgive you. No, I won't. And what you're really wanting is you want life to be miserable for them. And there's somehow this twisted idea that when we drink the poison, somebody else is going to be hurt by it. Hebrews 12:15 says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to what? To trouble you. How many of you know when you get offended, you're troubled? It's on your mind, you feel trouble, you're bothered, like you can't even concentrate on things that are valuable and good and healthy because you're just continually, you're going over it and you're nursing it and you're cursing it and you're rehearsing it. And the Bible says here, the last two words is that it corrupts many. It corrupts many. So lots of people are living offended. Like most people are living offended. Just being honest and open in an effort to help you, it's very possible and likely that you're here today living offended. And the problem with living offended is that it doesn't hurt somebody else, it hurts you. They don't suffer the loss, you do. That they don't get stuck in bitterness, you do. That they don't live with your envy. Like, they go on. They're on with their life and their world doing their... They don't live with your jealousy, your spite, your anger. You do. Can we talk? Proverbs 12:16. I'm going to give you a few verses that really encourage and tell us you don't have to live offended. Proverbs 12:16 says, a fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man does what? He overlooks. Insult me? I'm going to overlook it. Tell me I don't preach good? I'm going to overlook it. I'm going to tell you, you don't know what you're talking about. Anybody get insulted this week by somebody? It's hard to overlook it, isn't it? But it says here that a prudent man, my goal is, I'm not going to let what you say bother me. My goal is, I'm going to get past this. And see, I want to announce to everybody, you are free to overlook an insult. You don't have to let it get under your skin. Proverbs 17:9 says, he who covers an offense promotes love. But whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. You're free to move on, in other words. You're free to stop telling the story to everyone who will listen. You're free to go ahead with your life. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It's to his glory to overlook. There it is again. Like, really? Like, really? Yes, it's to his glory to be unoffendable. But Pastor Kevin, you don't know what you're dealing with. You don't know what it's like. I don't. Maybe I don't know what your offense is like, and you don't know what my offense is like. But the truth is that both of us have been given the grace and the power to pour it out. Pour it out. And all the front seat people here today are like, whoa, I didn't sign up for this. Like, and I want to encourage you today, we're going to give you a few things you can do to live unoffended. Number one is keep pouring out the poison. Keep pouring out the poison. See, what you do next after you feel offended, that's when the glass is served. And what you do next is crucial to your soul. This is where you either turn this way and go down Bitter Street, or you turn this way and you go down Better Street. When the offense occurs, it's fresh, it's like, whoa, wow, That's the moment. That's the moment where everything is on the table right now and you have the opportunity to get bitter or get better. You can get bitter or you can get better. Come on, you can get bitter or you can get better. Simon Peter asked Jesus, how many times, Jesus, like, do I forgive? Like, do I forgive seven times? Is that how many times I'm supposed to forgive people? And I imagine when I read the scripture that, I imagine Jesus like kind of smiling really big, like, man, you don't get it, do you? Like, because what he says back is, no, Peter, not seven, but how about 70 times seven? How about 70 times seven? Like, how about when you get served this, like, how about every time? You just already have decided in your mind before the week even began, hey, it's going to come, offense is going to come, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to keep pouring it out. I'm a pourer. I'm going to keep pouring it out. I'm going to keep, they fill it up, I pour it out. Like, he literally was saying, Peter, keep pouring out the poison. Being unoffendable, guys, is a lifestyle of forgiveness. It's making the choice, like, over and over and over again to pour it out. Somebody shout, pour it out. Say it again, pour it out. One more time, pour it out. How about one more time? Look at your neighbor and say, pour it out. One of the things that helped me a lot years ago is when I realized that in the New Testament, the Greek word for offense and the teaching of offense is scandalon, which literally means something you get baited into and traps you. Something you get lured into. And the word picture in the New Testament is that of a hunter who digs a hole, puts tree branches over it, leaves over it, camouflages the hole, puts some meat on top of the tree branches, and the animal is lured in by the scent of the meat until the animal falls into the trap. That's not my word, that's the word picture, that's the Bible's way of explaining that the enemy works through offense to trap you. The work of the enemy, you know, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, but the thief comes. Remember why he comes? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you're living with a very real enemy in your life today. And one of the big tools he uses is the trap of offense, which is why you and I can never get weary of pouring it out. Like, it's not for someone else's benefit. It's for your benefit. It's not for their benefit that I pour it out. It's for my benefit. If I can just somehow, like decide that, you know what, every time it comes, I'm going to look at it. In fact, like, I might really, Chris, you want to come help me? I need a volunteer. Come help me, Chris. Like, everybody say, go, Chris. Say, yo, Chris. So Chris, you know, this is what happened. I went to church, and I got there a little bit late, and the usher stopped me at the door. Yeah. No. What do you think about that? They stopped me. They wouldn't let me go into church.
What'd they say?
No. Well, what they said is just wait here for a few minutes, and and I'll let you go in a minute. And then I told that usher, I said, well, what would Jesus do?
What'd he say to that?
What did he say? You know what he said? He said, Jesus would be on time for church. And
how dare he?
How dare he talk to me like that?
You're the man. He doesn't talk to
like
you like
he
that.
He doesn't talk to me like that. That just ticks me off. That's rude. That's rude. You think that's rude? That's rude, right?
Oh my
that's
God.
Rude. That, yeah, look at that. Look at that. So here. I referred to this a couple of weeks ago when somebody pours you a glass of offense. Like the first thing that we all do, and it's very normal, and you're not crossing the line, when you look at it, you size it up, you're like, whoa. But then something can happen, and that is that you can get friends gathered around that, who will agree with you and encourage you to be offended. I call that social drinking. When offended people get together and they drink together, and they tell their stories to each other. And then they come next week and they got a couple new ones. And they want to share. It's just like this social thing goes on, and they look at it. Now, if that's the people that you're talking to, then what's going to happen is you're all just going to guzzle together. Like, he's going to encourage me to guzzle, I'm going to encourage him to guzzle. We just guzzle. Like, we guzzle, we drink the poison on a regular basis, and we are poisoned. But if you have better friends, you'll say, hey, you know, I've been a part of the worship team for a year now. They've never asked me to do a solo. And that friend is going to maybe hear you, and you're going to look at it, and that friend might say something like, you want me to say this, or you want to say it? You want to weigh in on this, good friend? Like, you want to say, hey.
You know, just keep plugging away.
Keep plugging away? Hey, it's not about the solo. It's about serving.
Yeah.
It's a privilege to serve.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's an honor, right?
Yep.
And, yeah, and so. Come on, let's give Chris a good hand right now. Thank you, Chris. Oh, come on. Does anybody want to live unoffended today? Okay, let me give you a few more things that can help you. I just want to equip you today to live an unoffended life. Here's a big one. Know your role in every relationship. Now, it may sound odd and pragmatic, because it is, but when someone pours you a big cup of offense and it feels offensive, ask yourself what your role is in that relationship. For example, when your wife, you men, when your wife says that she's in a hurry, doesn't have time to fix you breakfast, it may feel offensive. And you might be like, oh, great. Today I'm in a hurry, like, you know. But you need to own the reality that your wife is not your mama. She's your wife. Women are. She's not your mama. Man up. It was a blessing she fixed you breakfast any other day in the first place. If you're driving down the road and you're speeding and a law enforcement officer pulls you over and isn't real nice and doesn't deliver the ticket on a box of candy, and you're disturbed and bothered, like, didn't even talk to me, didn't even, like, want to hear my story, like, first time I ever seen their face, and he just came up here and he just kind of cold about it, just wrote me out. Like maybe you need a reminder that you are a citizen. And we're all supposed to obey the laws of the land. And his or her role is to give you a ticket and let you know when you are violating the law. Like, maybe we just need a reminder. Like, this is my role. This is their role. And I can't be getting hung up on an offense. I get on airplanes on a regular basis. And when I get on an airplane, a flight attendant might say, sir. We have a flight attendant on the second row here in Bellevue, nodding her head like she's liking this already. Hasn't even heard the story. Like, sir, buckle up. I don't go, wait. You know who I am? I know more Bible than you know. I'm older than you are. You don't do that. Like, the role is the role. Like, right? I'm the passenger. This is the flight attendant. It doesn't matter your education. It does. The flight attendant is in charge, right? Roll. What's my role? Your boss is your boss, not your buddy. Should I repeat that? Like, yeah, but Pastor Kevin, I wish my boss would be my buddy. Maybe your boss is not wanting to be your buddy. your boss is your boss. Like, if you just think about the role, I'm just trying to help you. Living unoffended, if you can just think roles out and just flow in the role, flow in the role, flow in the role. Like, yeah, they got a right to just say it. Here's 1, 2, 3, I want you to do this today. They don't have to dress it up. They don't have to make it sound nice. My boss is my boss, not my buddy. Right? And by the same token, if you're a boss and someone is working well and serving well, then that's also a person who is doing great things for your company. So in your role as a boss, what you're going to often want to do is you're going to want to facilitate and empower and lift and encourage. You're not going to want to treat them like somebody who doesn't give a care about working well and doing well. We want to honor up, we want to honor down, we want to honor all around. And sometimes a boss can encourage a person that works for them and does well if you just know that's my role. That's my role, is to lift that person up, encourage that person when they come to work, let them know I appreciate them. That's our role. Know the role. Know the role. Here's another one. Here's another one. Manage your expectations. Don't expect favors from people. See, when you approach relationships or even like being a part of our church, any church, for example, or, you know, you serve on a team with a secret expectation. When you do it with an agenda, a motive, what's in it for me kind of thought, you're setting yourself up to be offended. Eventually, when the other person doesn't meet your expectations, to you, it will feel as if they did something wrong. But actually, it was your own expectations. You were playing a little game in your own mind. I'll do this, and then they'll do that. And I'll get on the inside track here. And then I'm going to get like recognition, and like then they're going to let me do the solo, and then I'm going to become the team captain, and you know, just I'm. And when that doesn't happen, see, they didn't do anything wrong. They didn't do anything wrong. A lot of times people just, they're like, you know, I don't have a job, and my friend has 2. And is doing really well, and I could just, you know, I can handle a little bit of support. They it wouldn't hurt if they wrote me out a check. I've been their friend a long time. Like, if they just even would like buy dinner a couple times a week for me, like, I don't have a job right now. And this is how it feels. The expectations, because we've known each other a long time. I see it in the church with people who are in church a long time. Like that's a normal, like I've been here 20 years, Pastor Kevin. I've been here 20 years. And I'm not sitting in the front row. I don't know when I was recognized last. Expectations. Favors. Based on what? Based on longevity. Jesus even told a story. He just told a story about an owner of a vineyard who had a person that worked in the vineyard all day long. And then in the last hour, another worker came and worked the last hour of the day. And when they both left, the master of the vineyard rewarded them both the same. And the one who had worked all day got offended. What's this all about? Like I worked all day. They just came along in the last hour. And you're rewarding them like you're rewarding me. Like what's up with that? And the master of the vineyard's like, wait. Didn't we agree that when you worked, like this was a day's wage, and did you not get that? Well, sure, I got that. I got that, but they did too. Well, why does that bother you? And the real essence is more like this. Like, you've known God for 20 years and you've been in church for 20 years, and along comes someone who's only been here for 3 months, and you know what? They're going to heaven just like you are. There's no seniority in a church. The whole idea is that none of that really at the end of the day should we get offended about. Like, sure, high five for longevity and thank God for people who are faithful. Absolutely. Absolutely. But at the end of the day, if it becomes an offense to us that other people are being blessed like we're being blessed, then it means that actually we're expecting something that is creating a favor system. Man, it's getting really quiet. Those expectations, what I'm saying, is a glass. It gets put in front of us, talks to us. You deserve better than that. Shouldn't say that to you. Shouldn't treat you like that. And pouring out the poison. I'm having kind of fun with that. Pouring out the poison is releasing people from your expectations. Somebody shout, pour out the poison. So can I do one more? Like one more. Maybe two. To live unoffended. To live unoffended is to leave room for what you don't know. So there was a gentleman who got on a bus in an inner city with four children, and he sort of was oblivious to what was going on. His children were just taking over the bus, running up and down the aisle, facing the window, playing like children do. And the rest of the people on the bus were getting upset, rolling their eyes, and they're like, why isn't he managing his kids? And finally, one of them spoke up and said, sir, your kids, like, they're climbing over everything and running up and down the aisle. It's just like, come on, take care of your kids. And it was like he snapped out of wherever he was in that moment. And he began to apologize. He started gathering the children around him and saying, here, children, come on, sit down. And while he's doing all of that, he says to everyone, I am so sorry, guys, I'm so sorry. But we're just coming from the hospital where the children's mother passed away this morning. With one piece of information, the whole attitude changed in the bus. Instead of being upset and rolling their eyes, now people are kicking in to help. They're picking up children. They're playing with the children. They're letting the man know, I'm so sorry. We're so sorry for you. One piece of information. And my point is that sometimes when you hear one side of a story, it could be missing a key piece of information that would change the way you see it. Rather than being offended, you would now have understanding. So it's always better to leave room for what you don't know. Like, leave room for what you don't know. Just because the paper says it doesn't mean it's true. Leave room for what you don't know. Just because your friend tells you that doesn't mean it's true. Leave room, leave room, leave room, leave room, leave room, leave room for what you don't know. So to summarize everything today, I really want to just say to you in the last few moments, let's just close with this today. To live unoffended, I want to encourage you to fight for the freedom that you've been given. Fight for the freedom that you already have. Make freedom your goal. You want to live unoffended? Make freedom your goal. Not revenge, not getting even, not getting back, but being free. Galatians chapter 5 tells us that you're called to be free in Christ. Use it to serve one another. In other words, you can use the freedom. What I love about this verse, I started with it three weeks ago in session one. And what I love about it is it basically proclaims that Christ has made you free. Now, you can use your freedom in a way that will take you into bondage. A lot of times, young people, for example, they get to party age, drinking age, pleasure age, and they're like, don't tell me what to do. I'm old enough. I'm free to do what I want to do. I can do it. A man might say that oftentimes to his spouse, like, hey, don't boss me around. I do what I want to do. And we proclaim our freedom that way. And the next thing you know, that person has used freedom to create bondage for themselves. They use that freedom in a way that created an addiction, created a strife that they don't know now how to get out of with their spouse. And they become subject and under the power of something because they were proclaiming their freedom to do what they want to do. So what the scripture is saying is, hey, Christ has set you free. Now you can if you want, like you can. It's up to you. Like, I'm just your pastor today. I'm talking. I'm going to leave it here with you. I'm going to push this over to your side of the table, and the series is going to be over. And you can take the offenses of your life and say, look, I'll do what I want to do. You don't know my story. You can hold on to it. You can decide that, hey, it's not up to you, it's up to me. You don't know how much it hurt. You don't know how wrong it was. That you're free to do all of that. I'm just suggesting that you use your freedom, the same freedom that you have to drink it, is also the freedom you have to pour it out. My favorite movie, I guess, maybe of all time, one of my favorite for sure, is Braveheart. And William Wallace, if you've seen the movie, he rides up and down in front of the troops. And they're beat up morally, emotionally, and he's riding on that horse. And he starts to talk to the men, the warriors. Men of Scotland! I can't do it quite like him, but you get the choice. You get the idea. And then he says this, many years from now, when you lie in your bed dying, would you trade every day from this day until that day to come back here and tell your enemies that they can take your life, but they can't take your freedom? That's... And that's exactly really what I'm saying to you today, is that I believe with all my heart that at this moment in history and at this season in your life, that God put me here with this message to say to some of you that if you continue to live in offense, someday, lying on your bed, many years from now, potentially, I believe there's men and women who many years from now would say, I would give everything if I could just go back to that day, to that time, to that season. Like, I would surrender every day from then until now if I could go back along the way and I could have the courage and the confidence to understand that God is with me, that Jesus is for me, that I do have the power to pour it out. I would give every day. Because a life lived in bondage is no life at all. And for everyone here today, I want to tell you, there's something amazing. I don't know what it is, and you don't know what it is. But on the other side of every potential offense in your life, there is something amazing. Like if you just get past that opportunity, if you pour it out, if you say, no, devil, not today. If you just make up your mind, I am going to be a person on a consistent basis who is pouring out the poison over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. There's no telling how much is on the other side. The blessing God has. Come on, the goodness God has. The peace that passes all understanding in your life. Oh, come on, can we just celebrate the forgiving grace and goodness of the Lord today? Wow. Would you stand to your feet, everyone who would, just stand and remain standing for a moment. And I ask that nobody leave in the closing moments of our service. Just stay until we're done today. But I feel like God's here. I feel like this is a great moment, a great opportunity. I prayed before I came here this weekend, and I said, God, I don't know how to set people free. I'll do what I do, but you are the liberator, and you are the one, God, that people could leave here literally with a made-up mind, and this week they could begin to confess. And this is what I want to encourage you to do. Confess. If you have right now offenses in you, you say, Pastor, how do I get rid? I need to detox. Well, I'm going to tell you that you don't have to go to a center for that. You know, you can begin right now by the Word of God, the power of the Word of God, to begin to say, Jesus has forgiven me, and I made a decision to forgive everybody else. I am forgiven, therefore I forgive. And I am unoffendable. I live unoffendable. Now, you might not feel that way, but you have to start declaring it. And when you start declaring it, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. You will find yourself. It might be days, it might be weeks, but you will find yourself getting to a place where you are completely liberated in your soul and the bondage is broken and you are at peace with yourself and with everybody else around you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, if you receive it, just raise both hands up in the air today. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for the grace that you have given to us. And I thank you today, God, for the power that you give us right now to live unoffendable. I speak over our church family today. I speak over every person who is watching today. And I boldly declare them to be unoffendable. Even if they don't feel that way right now, by faith, I call every man, every woman whose heart is open to the grace of God today, unoffendable. With the help of heaven, we are unoffendable. We get past it, we pour it out, we do it again and again. We're not weary in pouring it out. It's who we are, it's how we're wired, it's what we do. Jesus forgives us every day, therefore we forgive others every day. We will push through it. We will get beyond it. We'll get to the other side of it with the power and the strength of Almighty God. We are a child of God. We are unoffendable in Jesus' name.